Painter Bob Ross is best known for his time as the host of public television's The Joy of Painting in the 1980s. He encouraged viewers new to painting that mistakes were just happy accidents. Let's take a listen to a clip from the show.
Now then, let's decide. Maybe there's a happy tree, evergreen tree. He lives right there. Start with just touching the canvas. Use just the corner of the brush, just the corner, and begin pushing, making the bristles bend slightly downward. See there? Look at that. Isn't that a nice little tree? And he lives right here in this brush. All you have to do is sort of push him out.
While his television appearances made his face and name well known, Ross's paintings have never been featured in major museums and have sold at low prices or even not at all at auction. Now fans are seeking more respect in the art world for the painter.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Did you watch Bob Ross on TV when it originally aired? Do you watch it now since it's available on Netflix and YouTube? Do you think he deserves more recognition and respect in the art world? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or leave a comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Joining us now is Kelly Crow. She's a reporter for the Wall Street Journal covering the art market. She recently wrote the piece called A Renaissance for Bob Ross. Fans want the Joy of Painting host to have a spot in art history. Kelly, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Bob Ross has had, as you say, a renaissance of sorts, even though he's been around for a long time. He was on public television for a long time. Now he's on Netflix. And, you know, people who are fans, for different reasons, chimed in on Facebook. One person, Brandy, said it was like doing meditation with paint. And then there was the hair. So he was both known for a calm, gentle personality and, of course, aesthetically, his hair. In, you know, broader pop culture, where does he fall?
Well, I was old enough to actually watch him in real time, so that dates me for sure. But I feel like pop culture is sort of always this fluid thing, and we sort of, each new generation sort of gets to come in and determine sort of who's cool and who's not. And what's funny is that the younger generations of kids who are finding him by watching, let's say, the streaming service Twitch, right, they don't know, I mean, he doesn't fit within their pop culture in terms of how he dresses with his, you know, shirts unbuttoned down to his navel, and his big hair. I mean, that none of that is familiar, and that they've sort of embraced him as a cult, you know, icon figure. So I think, you know, pop culture is sort of whatever, you know, the next generation determines sort of who matters, and they love Bob. So, you know, he's getting another look, which is really fun.
Yeah, I also used to watch Bob Ross in the 90s. It was one of those things that my grandmother would let us watch. So he's been around, certainly in my life, for a fair amount of time, but it always felt like he was, and, you know, I work in public media, a public media person. So to see him kind of burst out into this new realm must be really interesting for people who do monitor this kind of thing to see who has this sort of longevity.
Well, it's funny, my job, right, is to pay attention to sort of the zeitgeist of the art world, right, and who are they talking to, who are they buying, who are they collecting. I go to Sotheby's and Christie's and watch, you know, Da Vinci's sell for $450 million a piece. Like, you know, my world is usually pretty heady, and yet, you know, when I go home and I talk to my kids about what artists they know, I mean, I'm sort of embarrassed to say, even though I drag them to museums all over the place, right, that the handful of artists that they really have this unadulterated affection for is rather slim. And yet, my 16-year-old the other day mentions Bob Ross, and just out came this gush of, you know, affection. And I was like, how do you even know who Bob Ross is? Like, you were born, you know, in the 2000s. Like, how do you know this guy? And they all just know him. They were like, oh, well, he's on Twitch. I mean, to Bob Ross, you know, the headquarters, the sort of the company, right, that helps put out his paints and his painting kits, and to their credit, they really have latched on to some interest that came, you know, when Netflix approached them about putting, you know, versions of the show online, you know, when streaming services came, when they got approached by Comic-Con, South by Southwest, like groups that are not the traditional route to promoting an artist, right? Like most artists want to get a nice dealer, get a good gallery, you know, make the right introduction to the right curator, get a show. I mean, there's sort of like a path to stardom through the art world. And yet Bob Ross just sort of forged his own path on public television. And what's fun is that sort of the renaissance of him is also forging its own path. I mean, he's sort of getting traction in venues way outside of the establishment, and it's kind of breathing some life. And the full circle, sort of the reason why I had to do this story was that I was getting really tickled to see the artists sort of within the slipstream of contemporary art who do get shows at museums, who are collected by the right people, yada, yada, yada. Like, they were making pieces inspired by Bob. So I think there's a lovely full circle thing when they're starting to paint happy little trees, and then collectors and museums are buying those pictures. I think you have to count Bob Ross as a fun, at least an Americana figure of influence that I don't think we should ignore.
We're talking to Kelly Crowe right now. She's a staff reporter for the Wall Street Journal covering the art market. And we're talking about a push to get Bob Ross, who you all might know from The Joy of Painting, into a headier world of, you know, art history. I want to take a quick call right now. We have Adam in Maryland, Wisconsin. Hi, Adam.
Hello.
And what did you want to say about this?
Oh, I was just going to say, I kind of wanted to weigh in on her previous point. She was talking about how Bob Ross has become kind of a staple in, you know, a culture that would normally not accept, you know, such a contemporary painter. But the thing is it's through memes. It was through the internet. Bob Ross, I mean, he was kind of a staple in the artistic, you know, public community for a long time, you know. But the thing that kind of brought new life to his art and his medium was more or less through memes, through the internet. It's quite funny if you do some research. I can't even tell you how many, you know, sort of comical strips I've seen, including Bob Ross. And I mean, I'm not sure if you know much about cinema, but even Deadpool, the latest installment of that comic book rendition, the comic book film, even it had like a Bob Ross parody.
And Adam, thank you so much for that call. So he's talking about how the internet has sort of spurred, you know, Bob Ross along, and then we see it in other sort of pop culture moments like Deadpool. So when it comes down to this moment of how Bob Ross is pictured, do you think that it helps or hurts their case, his fans' case, when he does appear in, you know, memes and stuff like that?
Oh, well, you know, I spoke with people who knew him, who worked alongside him, who've known him, who knew him for decades before he died. He would have gotten the biggest kick out of it. I mean, really. I mean, I heard that at one point, I mean, in terms of licensing and branding, he was very savvy. He was okay to sort of, you know, he just wanted people to learn how to paint and to discover that moment of putting the brush on canvas could be a fun one. It didn't have to be a terrifying one. You didn't have to go to art school. I mean, there's a really democratic approach that he had toward painting, and the whole gig was just to try to get people to try it, right? And so he didn't really care. I mean, if that meant that they bought a waffle maker or they bought, you know, his painting kits, then great. But if they didn't, that was also great. But someone who knew him told me that at one point he joked about making Bob Ross jeans, you know, Bob Ross branded jeans, which got vetoed, which is funny, but just goes to show he was a good sport about it. And also, you know, I mean, he didn't have great aspirations of being in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I mean, for him, being on TV was making it, right? So he, I think, had a pretty good sense of humor about his own work. And he also really tried to create a look that was pretty timeless. I mean, we've talked a lot about the hair, which was funny because he initially, he doesn't actually have curly hair. He didn't actually have curly hair in real life. He dyed it he permed it because he was crisscrossing the country on the road so much, teaching classes, doing demos in shopping malls and that sort of thing. And he just thought, oh, well, maybe if I perm it, I won't have to get it cut so often. And then the first time that he went on television, they kind of told him, well, you're kind of locked into this look now because we all think it's pretty hilarious. So he later kind of regretted perming his hair, but it was part of the look. And I actually think it's gone a long way. I mean, Andy Warhol used to wear a crazy, you know, a crazy wig. They called it a fright wig. And sort of artists sort of have their own shtick that I think sets them apart. He also tried very hard to be as timeless as he could, hair aside. You'll notice the background on his shows is just, you know, plain black. It's a really intimate sort of space. It's just sort of him and that easel and that black expanse. And he really tried, even with a denim shirt, you know, those things never really go out of style. So I think he had an inkling that the show could live on, or at least that he wanted it to live on sort of separate. So he didn't design sort of a hokey set that would really date it, you know, to the early 80s. And so I think for many, many reasons, it sort of has this timeless appeal that I think kids who are finding it through memes, through jokes about the hair, through Netflix, through Twitch, you know, however they're finding it through online reruns, what they're finding is that the way in which he talked about art and the respect and just the optimism, it's just so counter to, I think, a lot of, you know, the cynicism or the elitism that people feel, you know, when they step into a big, glamorous museum. Sometimes people feel like they have to whisper and they're in church and they don't know so much. And, you know, we don't need to make art that makes people feel stupid. It can challenge us, for sure. And I think there is a really amazing conversation being had right now about contemporary art, where we're, you know, with artists who are wrestling with really tough issues, social issues and political issues. But then there's also timeless Bob, you know? I mean, we can't get rid of him either.
Well, Kelly, we have to leave it there for right now, but thank you so much for joining us. That was Kelly Crow, a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, covering the art market. She recently wrote a piece called A Renaissance for Bob Ross. Fans want the Joy of Painting host to have a spot in art history.